Our Gemara and Tzachim Dav Dalam Mid Beis Hamnu Rabbanan Bidir Rabbanan seems like Nashim should only have Nemanas and Amili Dir Rabbanan. Now that's not, you know, outlandish, and there's a whole school of Rishonim, you know, that relate to it on that level. So, you know, most prominently, the two most prominent Rishonim we have, somebody want to just, you know, report back to us, and then the follow-up question, the obvious follow-up question, what's the internal distinction between the two approaches? But which two Rishonim, you know, accept the Gemara at face value, Hamnu Rabbanan Midir Rabbanan, that Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ktanim, it's all true. This isn't here for the Ktanim, it's not here for the Avadim, it's here for the Nashim. Okay, so Levi, go ahead. Which two Rishonim, just, you know, that's the Gemara, that's the Psak.
I think the Balamor.
Excellent. Before we get to the nuance of the Balamor.
The other one was, I think, the Rush.
Yes, outstanding. So let's start with the Rush, a little simpler. So the Rush says, yeah, they have Nemanos in the Derabanan according to the Bavli. The Yerushalmi is a problem because Leis Kana Filu Nashim, Nashim Atzlanios, sort of the Pnei Moshe, if you will, reading of the Yerushalmi. But they can establish that there's a bias baduk, very good, b'dikas chametz is derabanan. Again, b'dikas chametz is derabanan, because b'vitel midaraisa bialma sagile. Okay, very good. Now the Balamar, and certainly the Ravid understood him that way, might have a more limited rabbinic, you know, ne'amanus for women. Go ahead, Levi. You hit the nail on the head.
The Balamar limited it to first person, Badkine.
Right, Anan Badkine. Beautiful. Okay. So that obviously drew the Ravid's attention and his ire. Levi, beautifully done. But that brings us back to the, you know, issue for all of the other schools of thought in the Rishonim. And so far what we really saw were three primary schools of thought against the simple reading of the Gemara. In other words, against the Rosh and the Balamor, who, you know, again, have their internal nuance, but seem to be accepting of the Gemara at face value. And broadly speaking, we could call those schools the school of, and the school of, and the school of. Okay, so what are the three schools? And then we'll, you know, again, just review each of them. Okay, Noam, go ahead. Give us the three schools.
The Korban Negida, the Pnei Moshe, and the Rina Manoach.
Okay, so you're in the world of the Yerushalmi. Okay, but just the three basic schools of thought that, you know, challenge, you know, our understanding of the Gemara. They're all bothered by the same fundamental issue. David, go ahead. What are the three basic schools?
I think one of them is Rabbeinu David, another's Tosfos, and I forgot the third.
Yeah, I thought you'd start with Rabbeinu David. Okay, so Rabbeinu David, the Balei Tosfos, and then we have, you know, the school of the Eitan?
The Mordechai?
Right. It's the Mordechai, the Gosa Shri, which is also really, I think, the school of the Ravid when you, you know, drill down into it. And these are three different ways of getting at how our Gemara isn't giving us the full story. Right? Not to say that they're conspiratorial, but our Gemara, you know, is only giving us an aspect. But the truth of the matter is that B'mili D'Oraisa, there's plenty of Ne'amanos for Nashim, whether it's Trumos and Maestros, whether it's Inyanei Nida, whether it's, you know, Chala, you know, whether it's Shchita or Nikar Hagid and, you know, Trebering and Chelev, all of these areas are clearly Daraisa, and it's a Maisim B'chol Yom, and it's Gemara Mefurash and Masach L'Ksuvos, right? You know, unless we had direct and very troubling evidence to the contrary, it would be Somech on, you know, his wife, that she's not being machil him, you know, tevel, and esir misa b'dei shamayim. So there are three very different ways that the Rishonim think about how she could achieve ne'amanos on a darais level. Again, you might say she can't, because lav b'nei asudei ninhu, right? There's a psuledos, all of these categories, nashim avadim and ktanim. So broadly speaking, we have three different approaches. So let's start with the approach of the Balei HaTosfos. The Balei HaTosfos raised the issue, and the Balei HaTosfos are comfortable with the idea that her ne'amanus b'daraisa is derived from Ben Sion.
Her capability?
Exactly. Technical capacity. Biyadam. And, you know, when you don't have biyadam, that downgrades it to a derabanan. Or Ben Sion, as you yourself noted, you know, even when you have biyadam, but there are mitigating factors, whether those mitigating factors are dikta gadol, tircha yesera, or even, you know, atzelos, atzlanios, right? So there's going to be mitigating factors, but it's really predicated in a kind of technical capacity to perform specific jobs. You know, that's the real idea. You know, davar that is, you know, leisa biyadam klal, they could only have an emanos on a dirabanan level, and that's exactly where the Balei Tosfos are going to draw the line, ben sion, between the last line in Tosfos.
I guess the dirabanan and the deraisa.
Between different school, different classes on the dirabanan level, right? So that's where ketanim are only going to be ne'emanim begadlusan al masharau bekatnusan, as opposed to nashim and avadim amili deleisa biyadam. Okay, so that's really one school, technical capacity. Now, all the way on the other end of the spectrum, we have Rabbeinu David, as David Rabbani noted. So Boaz, let's just do a little bit of chazara. What was Rabbeinu David's shita? What's the source of Ne'emanus de Isha and Amili de Raisa? Having absolutely nothing to do with technical capacity...
Yeah, it's more to do with their halachic obligation.
That is exactly right. It has everything to do with their halachic obligation, right? Ish v'isha are fundamentally equivalent to chol isurin shabbatorah, the chol onshin shabbatorah, this side of Bal Takif, Bal Tashchis, Bal Tatami Lameis. And Rabbeinu David begins to hint that this even should have implications in the realm of Eidus, albeit, you know, limited implications. Which area, you know, does he present it as actual eidos when you're dealing with a woman, because, you know, it really impacts her. Bread and butter, perhaps. Rami?
Eidos isha?
Yeah, exactly right. So it has to do with the idea of what I call haminam ha-Torah. If the Torah, you know, obligates them, how would it make any sense for their ne'emanos, you know, to be any less? And again, there's no distinction between, you know, whether they're talking about themselves or talking about somebody else. We'll save that, you know, for the next part of the discussion. Okay, and then we saw a third school, you know, the Mardechai and the Hagos Hashri, and I think this is really what is animating the Ravid, which we'll get to. And there the Ne'eman Oseitan is predicated on not technical capacity and not legal status, but a kind of... Yeah, and since... we're certain that they are certain that something is prohibited, they benefit from a...
Cheskas kashrus?
Exactly. We're not relying on their eidos, we're relying on their cheskas kashrus. And in fact, the Ravid addresses that explicitly. He says, if we're going to have to rely on their eidos, they're testifying about something that's beyond themselves, that's exactly where they can only be credible on a dirabanan level, right? Heim Amru, Veheim Amru. So that's the perspective of the Mordechai. And the whole issue with, you know, Bedikas Chametz has to do with a kind of an umdana, right? Is that we don't have any certitude that they themselves are sure of the presence of Isser. Ironically, if we knew that they knew that there was Isser here, right, that would change things dramatically. And again, the Mordechai weaves into that the story of Atzlanios. You know, he says, oh, you know, and once we're not sure that they're sure of the presence of the Isser, then maybe they're not really going to do the B'dikas Chorin Ustakin, right? We're not going to trust them, you know, on that level because of the factor of Atzlanios. So the Agosh Hashri, you know, had the same idea. And he had an application that we'd like sort of debating. Is this really similar to Chametz? You could be Mechalek. That was the case of the Dag Tameh. Bein Dagim, you know, Tahorim, how much are they really going to push themselves to look? Okay, so you can, you know, be Medamim, Milsa, Lemilsa, you could be Mechalik if you want, that's a relatively narrow point. But the Ravid, picking up on the language of the Baal Amor, he says, if the Baal Amor really meant this, if the Baal Amor really meant to distinguish himself from the Rush, that they can only be credible on the Derabanan level to say, Anan Badkine, as opposed to saying, Bayezeh Baduk, right? If that's what the Baal Amor meant, then I strongly disagree with the Baal Amor because they'll have an absolute credibility to tell us anything about themselves, because that's not Eidos. That's not Torah's Eidos. Right? Anything outside of themselves has to be considered Torah's Eidos, and that's when we're going to downgrade it to a Dirabanan. And the Ravid is quite clear that this Nemanus, Mili Daraisa, is rooted in a Cheskas Kashrus, and he says it's as good as their Cheskas Kashrus. So it's only if we had very specific information that we couldn't trust them with respect to a particular area that they would no longer be Nemanim. And here, the Ravid, you know, is on very solid ground, because that's exactly Ilan Agis, which Gemara, which says that, you know, she's credible until she's not. Which Gemara is that? I mean, that's the Gemara that all of the Rishonim have cited. Exactly. The Gemara in Ksuvos. Right? It's only if we know that she's tampering, you know, or she's, you know, failing her husband in this way, that we're not going to be so mechan. Otherwise, the Cheskas Kashrus is, you know, really, really strong. So we don't see this as, you know, anything, you know, remotely reflecting Eidos and a Bezdin. This is just, you know, the Torah saying that she's credible, you know, as long as, again, she hasn't proven herself otherwise. That's what a Cheskas Kashrus is. It's a default assumption. You know, that's a really, really important perspective as to what a source of Ne'emanus might look like, you know, even on the Daraisa level, and the distinction between Anan Badkine and, you know, Bayis Baduk. Again, language that we already saw in Rashi, but now we're really developing it out further. Okay, so that's effectively where we had, you know, left things off. So let's now take a look at the Tosos Rid. I'll share my screen just to make it a little bit easier for you guys. If you guys want to use the hard copies, that's fine too. So we'll do the Tosos Rid, then we'll try to circle back to the Ritva as well. Okay, so here we go. Okay. Avi, do you want to do the honors? Tosos Rid?
Sure.
Okay.
Mufsak Lundalo Badok.
I'm actually going to make it larger if you don't mind. Just, you know, okay. I'm aging.
Wait, you can also, no, it says 100%, you can change it to like 125% or whatever.
Like I said, I'm aging, you know, I didn't know that. No, just kidding.
The Mufsak Lundalo Badok. The Kamihani Dara Badkine, Ma the same alone Nehemne, Kamash Nonemanin, Kamash Malon, came in the Dikas Kamit Diraban, he Bifule and Nurabana, the Dirabana. So, Isi Makshim Baze, Hakamashma Bidiva Oraisa, Lomehem Isha. Sorry, just a second.
So, Avi, that we already have something in common with the Tosfos Rid, because he also saw this, right? Isi Makshim Baze. Right, we've actually seen people raise that question too. Tosvos, Rabbi David, Mordechai, the Goz Hashri, the Ravid, right? So we actually have something in common with the Tosvos Rid that's very heartening.
Kigon Dumya Dehacha Dehabais Muxaklan Delobadaki Vamihani Bad Kinuhu the Taima Dimidirabanan.
Right, so that was exactly what Ilan Agis, right? That's exactly what we're just talking about. So, unless you have some evidence, you know, with which to substantiate this charge, right, this dastardly charge against her, so then why would you assume that to be the case? We should be someich on her. She's a cheskas kashrus. Okay? Excellent. That's the Gemara in Ksuvis. Okay, go ahead, Avi.
Hainu mashma de bayu lememar de chos man shalo yada bevir de ina ma'aseres de ina kotsa samchi ala umutar la'ochlan.
Okay, so I bold that line because the Tosfos Rid is really articulating this idea, you know, that we were just ourselves, you know, developing, that's the nature of a cheskas kashrus. Now, again, I'm going to be drawing a distinction in a few minutes from now between the Tosfos Rid and some of the others, but what am I talking about, Avi? What do I like about this line? That a cheskas kashrus means that it's a cheskas kashrus
until it's proven not to be.
Exactly. Mere allegation, mere speculation, mere conjecture does not undermine a cheskas kashrus. You know, this is something that, you know, people don't understand. You know, somebody said, a lot of people are saying, the Tosfos Rid is saying nonsense. You need yedia berura to undermine this chazaka, v'mili d'oraisa. That's what the Gemara says. Idiyada. So Tosfos Rid says, yedia beberur. Don't tell me, you know, you suspect. You heard somebody say it about her. You heard somebody from the ladies' auxiliary, you know, saying she can't be trusted on the Shalach Manos committee. That's not the Torah standard. Right? They're going to kick her out of the sisterhood. Allegation does not undermine a cheskas kashrus. That's the power and the beauty. The versions I used to call the inspiration of a cheskas kashrus. It's a beautiful thing. And it's a tragedy for somebody to lose it. And we don't take it away, you know, just because there are some whispers. Okay? Very good. So ve'ena kot samchin ala mutter la'ochla al pi'a. It should be ma'asim b'chol yom. Yeah,
ma'asim b'chol yom. The samchin ala eved v'isha benikor habasar. The gam nami b'sechas erevin. Mashma the isha ve'eved ina manin lahatir ela b'milsa derabanan.
Right, so the Balia Atosos themselves will tell you, yeah, Katan Gri Tve, that's why he's listed last. Afilu Nashim, Afilu Avadim, Afilu Ktanim, he has no Das, more on that a little bit later. Right, Katan doesn't even make the list. That was why, somebody mentioned it before, the Korban Nisanel was so exercised that the idea, you know, that somebody would read the Rush and say, you know, Sami Mikan Isha, and take out Isha, and the Katan could have more Ne'emanos than an Isha. He was like, you know, apoplectic at that possibility. Okay. Ve'od b'mesachta k'suvis.
Mashma behedya de katanim lo mehemni b'tchumim, d'amrin hasam v'perek sheni, v'ilu ne'eman l'hadad b'gola v'amasharo b'kotnon, v'kachashim nami ne'emanim lomar ad kan haynu ba'im b'shabes, v'amri hasam nami b'gemara mishim b'tchumim d'rabanon,
Okay,
Vila Omrim and Kianachnu Badaknu also Ilav Havi Derabana Lomahemni Shimid al Perishum and Shitevel the Omrim Ki He Harsha Osanu Le Asran
Okay, okay, so we're gonna get Katan, we're gonna deal with in a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
So now let's try to excellent Avi. So now we have to, you know, confront the Tosfos Rid. Okay. So it's really a fascinating formulation, and the question really is it a new shita? Or is it a derivative of a previous shita? It's obviously not Rabbeinu David, and it's not the Balei HaTosfos either. So the real question that we have in terms of the Tosfos Rid is, should we read it in light of the Ravid and you know, the Mardechai and the Gaos HaShri? He's actually saying something unique, something distinct. I think a reasonable case could actually be made in either direction. I think there are diukim that you can make in favor, let's say, of reading it as, you know, basically what the Ravid is suggesting. But I also think that, you know, a person could conceivably, not just because we're trying to, you know, add shitos, you know, shitos packing, spectrum building, but I think it's possible, actually, to say that this is something distinct. Okay, so who wants to make the case in either direction or in both directions in the time-honored tradition of, you know, Elu ve'Elu? The Tosfos Rid has a concept as to how Ne'amanus B'Daraisa works. He definitely has a concept. And there is a recurring phrase. There's a recurring phrase that's unique. But the question is, does it boil down in the end to something that we've seen? Okay, I'm just scanning. When I do my share screen, I can only see five of you at once. Ah, Yehuda. Shalom.
I'm ready.
Excellent to see you. Yeah. Okay. Just scanning for hands. Pension? Is that a hand?
I mean, the key word that I'm saying is mutal.
Yes.
It's like, but that's a pretty vague term, relatively.
Okay, so how about, you know, milsa de ramya layu? Okay, because that's basically, you know, the same thing, right? So, now, Milsa Deramya Alayhu is capacious enough, Levi, to include what? Even the category of, the Tosfos Rid makes it clear, he says, I'll accept that Milsa Deramya Alayhu includes...
I'm not sure.
Ilan, A? Eh? Well, it includes even...
Master, husband's
prudence. Well, okay, right. But that's like the classical case of Ramya Lahu. That's directly her responsibility. But, Avi, what does it even include? He makes that clear at the end. Shlichos. Right? Mishum da'alayu Ramya Milsa. Avobativla da'achrini dilo Ramya Lahu. Davka la'balabaya shaso shliach na'manim. Right, it wouldn't include Zachin, like we did this for him. It actually requires formal shlichos. Okay, so even if you hold that Zachin is, you know, mitam shlichos, you know, this is a really good Tosfos Rid to be aware of. Okay, so Ben Sion, do you want to make the case in which direction? Oh, Avi, go ahead. So you want to make the case. Is Tosfos Rid distinct, or is he saying something that we've seen in terms of Ne'amanus on the Raisa level?
It seems a little bit similar to Biyado.
Ooh, but, interesting.
But I guess that's how I'm translating Milsa the Rama Alayhu. But and in a sense also seems similar to the hem and atora, because it's sort of liable on them. But I guess you could say that this is sort of a category of its own.
Go ahead. I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you mind if I respectfully challenge that, or as you guys like to say, push back? We used to just have respectful disagreements in the good old days. You know, if it were really biyada, so it's just as much biyada, it's within her technical capacity to take somebody else's trumos and maestros, even without shlichus, right? Okay. So I don't think it's biyado. And I still don't think it's hemina matorah, because it's the same halachic obligation, right? You know, if she's mechuyabes in this area, who cares whose it is? So the real question, I think, is this, in the end of the day, do we collapse it back into the Ravid Mordechai Hagosa Shri school? And say, okay, basically, she has credibility, you know, as far as her own, you know, Dalet Amos proverbially are speaking. But if we, you know, need her to tell us something outside of that, that's going to be problematic. Now, if there's one line, Ben Sion, that makes you think that the Ravid could, you know, dance to this music, what is it? There's one line where I think the Ravid, you know, would say, hear, hear. That's, you know, the outer boundary of her Doraisis Nemanus. That's the tchum, if you will.
I would say the Meiser Vechala Shein Mutalin Alaisha, because since I guess everyone's relying on her, so she doesn't want to have the collateral damage, almost like the rabbi would say.
Right, but you know, the Cheskas Kashrus isn't just about collateral damage. There's a sort of one line where Rami, go ahead. I think because you pressed your hand, you popped up on my Zoom. Okay, nice. Okay, go ahead.
I would have said she in the Eden up
here. Yes! Yes, you are absolutely right. That is correct. The minute that she steps out of what the Tosas Rid is calling, you know, Milsa de Ramya Alayhu or Muta Alalei, he calls that, the problem is, it's Eidus. That she can't do. Shim Eden al Peris Ruvain. Shahayatava omrim kihi hirsho son ulasran visarnum, right? Eina nemanim, right? Even if they're telling us a story, you know, that Reuven allowed us to do it or whatever it is, you know, that would be edus. That's not acceptable. Eina nemanim. Ve'avakav dibtiv layu nemanim ishim da layu ramya milsa, avavativa da charinilo ramya layu, davkala balbaya shaso shliach nemanim. A little carve out for shlichos, avalacher minim nemanim lomar. We would have to know that they were actually shluchim. So that's an amazing thing. So the Tosas Rid is saying, once there's a process of shlichos at play, so then we can bank on a milsa de ramya alayhu, de mutal alehen. So, if there's an argument to be made that this is really within the school of the Ravid and the Mardechai and the Agos HaShri, I think it's that. It's that in the end of the day, what a milsa de mutal alei, a milsa de ramya alayhu really is that it enables us to take advantage of her cheskes kashrus. But the minute that it's really outside of her realm, so then, you know, it's Eidus, and that's goof of the problem. Okay, so I think that's a plausible reading, but I'm not entirely convinced of it. I'm not 100% convinced of it. And I'm wondering if somebody has their doubts as well. Shimmy? You're a fellow skeptic?
Yeah, I originally thought that it was like about Cheskat Kashrut,
but he never talks about it being chayav on her to do it. Instead, he uses words like mutal on it. Not that she has to do it, but that like she's supposed to do it or expected to do it. And like, so it seems to me that it's not about what she's chayav to do and not chayav to do, but rather what we're expecting her to do versus what we're not expecting her to do.
Yeah, I think that's very, very, very well said. Right, so the Tosas Rid has some kind of predetermined areas that are sort of within her sphere, you know, and you'll forgive if some of it is impolitic, but, you know, halacha takes priority, right? That her sphere is going to, just by definition, require us to trust her. You know, small wonder, Shimi, that the Tosas Rid begins with which case? Right, he doesn't start with Maisim Bechol Yom, he doesn't start with, Ksuvis, but he says...
Chalad Maser.
What's that?
Chalad Maser.
Even before that, Avashina Menes Lispor Velomar Tahora Ani. Very striking. It seems to me that an entirely plausible reading, and I think this is what Shimi is suggesting, of the Tosas Rid is that in halachic spaces that she is the protagonist, and again, I admit here that shlichus, you know, is something of a chiddush, that's why Tosas Rid has to make it clear, so of course she has credibility on a Doraisa level. But not again because she's michuyeves, and not because she just has a technical capacity to do so, and not even because of her basic cheskas kashrus, but because, you know, she is the balas habayis, if you will, in these areas. Nida, you know, inyane kashrus in the bayis. Once she's appointed, you know, a shlicha, so she becomes, you know, the protagonist in her own way in those areas, and she has nemanos and daraisa. But exactly the same fact pattern, except we don't know that she was really, you know, the shlicha. She's just telling us that she would not have nemanos, according to Tosfos Rid. Now, what would the Ravid say about that? Would the Ravid say, no, I agree, because that's kind of, you know, in Eidos, because she's the one who's telling us that she was a shlucha? Maybe. Maybe. But maybe she should have a cheskas kashrus. Certainly until proven otherwise. So again, unlike the Mordechai and the Gosa Shri, who are saying, look, as long as we know that they know that there's an Isser here, there's a cheskas kashrus that's going to do the right thing, I think what the Tosas Rid is suggesting is that certain areas in halacha where she just has to be the dominant force. Ve'ein lecha gedola mizo, then nida, right? I mean, what in the world, you know, could be a better example of that? That, you know, obviously she's going to be the one who's going to be, you know, reporting back. And, you know, kashrus in the home is another perfectly, good example of something like that. And, you know, preparing food as, you know, was the classical domestic responsibility. So built into those structures, you know, in halacha, you know, machalos asuros, nida, etc., is a ne'amanos that she has. This is not Rabbeinu David who's saying, look, if she's mechuyeves, then she's credible because, you know, she's mechuyeves in a lot of areas where she's not the protagonist. And she testified to anything. You know, she could tell us about anything that is a lo sase shabbat Torah. She's mechuyeves in kilayim and, you know, shatnez. So it seems b'milsa de rami alayhu that she's granted nemanos on a daraisa level. And again, there's a little bit of a chiddush that even where she wouldn't be the natural person, it's not nida, it's not kashrus in the home, but she's a shaliach, so that status can be attained. It's not innate, but it can be attained through shlichus. But that's as far as the Tosas Rid is willing to go. We wouldn't believe her to say, that she was made a shaliach. Okay. So again, if somebody wants to say that this is 95% the Ravid, I hear it. But I'm partial to Shimi's reading, that I think this represents a slightly different orientation. I wouldn't call this predicated on the Cheskas Kashrus. I would call this, which again is more about an umdana, does she believe that there's Isser here? And as long as that's true, we know that she's going to do the right thing. I think that this is basically the Torah built into areas where, you know, the natural course of human affairs is that she's responsible, nidam, you know, kashrus, etc., that she's, you know, credible on a derais level. It's very reminiscent, I have to tell you, of a, you know, pretty significant shas shita. What does it remind us of a little bit in terms of just, you know, there's a kind of a pragmatism here, a halachic pragmatism that is reminiscent of a certain shita. Go ahead, Ilan. Okay, right. That's I was thinking a little bit more in terms of just Rashi, in terms of Eidecha Neman Bisurin, that we can't have a shomer in everybody's, you know, house, right? That, you know, Rashi sort of considers that to be, you know, a folly. Of course, in, you know, areas, you know, where she's going to be the primary mover, you know, there's going to have to be Ne'manas. So I think that this could potentially be, I don't want to oversell it, but I think this could potentially be a fourth Shita in terms of Ne'manas on a Deraisa level, but Milsa, the Rami Alayu, with the inclusion of Shlichos. Okay, obviously that was very well done. Now in terms of Katan, so again, let's just review very, very quickly what we've seen in terms of Katan. So Katan is totally excised from the Yerushalmi. All the way at the other end of the spectrum, you have Rabbeinu David, who says our Gemara only exists for the Katan, Hemnu Rabbanan B'Drabbanan. And then we have the Shita, the Balei HaTosfos. So the Balei HaTosfos say, yeah, a Katan has Ne'manos if it's a Milsa D'Rabbanan, and there's an element of Biyadam, like our Gemara. But if it's Davar Sheinu Biyadam Klal, the Katan isn't going to have Ne'manos, right? So that's basically where we are in terms of the Katan spectrum. So now let's come to the Tosfos Rid. Let me share screen again. Okay. The Katan.
Here.
Avi, did I lose you?
Yeah. Where is it? Just okay. Katan Katan, yeah. Okay. The Katan Katan Nami Lakasha. Hacha de Neman, Mishim de Amar Ania Sisi Maisa, Uvad Kitnan, Behasan Be Ruve Trumim, Veham Maid, Veomer, Shad Khan, Higia Trum Shabbos, Vein Edis Lakatan Klal, Afilab de Rabbanon, Avalbimbasa Shomer, Kiania Sisi Bidoresa, Lo Mehemen, Avalbidarabanan Mehemen.
Okay, so it's really interesting. You know, in terms of the Ne'manos of a Katan, so he says, okay, obviously no Eidos, right? No Eidos D'Oraisa, no Eidos D'Rabbanan. But in terms of a Katan, as long as it's a D'Rabbanan, we'll believe the Katan as long as it's... Shimi? Yeah, Aniasisi, right? I would use that term a little bit more than biado, because biado I think is, you know, sort of like technical capacity, you know, it can be done. But as long as he's just relying first person information, the Tosfos Rid is comfortable with the idea of a Katan being Neman for Mili Derabanan. No Eidos ever. Nothing outside of themselves, not D'Oraisa, not D'Rabanan. But if they're just giving sort of a first-person account, so as long as it's D'Rabbanan, that's acceptable. Yeah. So that's his solution for the Tchumen problem, because Tchumen would be a non-first-person account. Now, it's interesting. You know, anybody want to quibble with that and say, oh, well, I don't know, I mean... Avabaisa Shomer Kiani Asisi... If you were going to argue with the Tosfos Rid and say, oh, maybe, I don't know, Tchumin, it's kind of in the eye of the beholder. How could you argue the case of Tchumin by the Tosfos Rid's own logic? Leva, it's a good one for you. How could you conceptualize Tchumin as Ani Asisi?
Because you're the one measuring it?
Yeah, you could say, Ad Kan Hayisi Mahalech, you know, Bishabis. Everybody follow that? You could say that, right? Right, and then it's not Eidos. Maybe it's just, you know, I used to walk up until here. So obviously Tosfos Rid didn't believe that. Rami, go ahead. I think we wanted to fight back on that point, which is good.
Well, no, I just had a question.
Right.
Would Tosfos Rid take into account the Das thing that Tosfos was regarding?
Yeah, so he doesn't seem to think that it's about Das. You know, he thinks that we're talking about Ketanim, you know, Shehigiyu to whatever. So it doesn't seem like it's about that. Okay, Ilan, did you want to just make a point about the Tchum issue?
Yeah, he would be believed when he was older, though, once he was begodlo.
Right, but again, the Tosfos Rid is saying that Bikatnuso, he's believed to say Ani Asisi. So I'm not trying to be difficult with the Tosfos Rid. I'm just saying, like, look, you know, a little bit it's a question of how you understand what a person is saying. If you understand a person, you know, to give, you know, testimony about Tchum Shabbos, I get it. If you understand a person to say, you know, I walked up until here, so is that really that different than saying, you know, I took away the part of the gid that was in the Isser Derabanan? Yeah, Ilan, go ahead.
Where he walked doesn't establish the halachic reality. Where he walked is the result of the halachic reality, unlike the Nikra Agid, where what he did actually creates the halachic reality.
Yeah, clearly that's what the Tosfos Rid thinks. How compelling that is, I'm not entirely sure. Because again, if he's just, you know, Mesiach Lefi Tumo, he's telling us, yeah, I remember, we used to walk up to that rock. You know, maybe it should be better. You know, there's less of a burden on him to create a halachic reality. Okay. All right. So, just to round out this entire part of the sugya, let's take a look at the Ritva. And the Ritva splices the Gemara in yet a different place, and then has a different, perspective on Ketanim. Until when do you guys have now that they changed the schedule back in terms of Mincha Maariv? What are you supposed to do? What am I supposed to let you go exactly? Okay. Well, I at least want to get through the Ritva, then encourage you guys to, you know, as long as you have, to be able to do some hachana for tomorrow for the, you know, Shita Sarambam, and then, you know, the Psak Halacha, the Sukei Shema Itzali B'Dilchasa. Okay, so let's finish things off with the Ritva, and let us have Noam Barinholtz quiet today.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm Noam Rabbanan B'Dar Rabbanan. Yesh Mefarshim D'Mishum Avadim Ukanim. Dila B'Nashem Af B'Yisur En Shal Torah Ne'emanim. T'Hachaz Yinan Shemina Torah Oni Dasa V'Gabim Ma'isos K'des Na'ani Sartem Miravtem.
Right. Sartem Miravtem B'Liku Esaner. So, okay, go ahead. Ma'isim B'Chol Yom.
An somchim alayah b'mlicha b'nikor abasar. B'chein amar b'Yerushalmi in kanashim.
Oh, so this is perfect for you, Noam. I hadn't even thought of that, because you were all over the Yerushalmi before. So whose version of the Yerushalmi is he taking?
Oh, wait.
B'chein amar b'Yerushalmi in kanashim. Don't include nashim here. No, nashim. They have super nem on us.
Oh, that's b'nei Moshe.
Right, okay. So that would work well for them, and even a little bit, and, you know, definitely not the p'nei Moshe, but, you know, maybe the... Yeah, there's other ways of interpreting that. So we have another novel view of the Gemara. So this is, right, Dimishuma Vadim Uktanim. But no, Nashim for sure, they're completely Nemanos on the Daraisa level. Right, so this is sort of similar to another Rishon, but drawing the line in a different place. Like, oh, our Gemara, that's not to tell us anything about women. For sure, they're Ne'amanos on all Doraisa issues. It's just that he sort of moved things over by one frame shift. Noam? Who does it remind you of? Who said... Okay, Avi, you have it?
Rabbeinu David.
Excellent. Excellent, Avi. So it's Rabbeinu David, but Rabbeinu David said, oh, our Gemara is only here to teach us about Ketanim. The Ritva will tell us, oh, our Gemara is here to tell us about Ketanim and... Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Very good. So the Ritva, you know, just goes straight for the, you know, Nashim, Ne'manos, and all the Raisas, you know, and he picks out the day, a little cherry picking of the Yerushalmi, of Ein Kan Nashim, you know, there's no, there's no reference to the Atzlanios, you know, maybe he's holding like, you know, Rabbeinu Manoach. Fascinating. Okay. So what's he going to do with the Ketanim? So he's going to push the Ketanim, you know, well beyond the Tosos Rid. Oh, so the Ritva is willing to go with Ne'manos d'oraisa for a katan, provided, now he's got a lot of caveats here, it's a davar shebiyado, it's a davar she'ein bo tircha, and of course he has to have das. But with that, the Ritva likes the idea that he's Ne'man afilu b'milsa del Raisa. So how's that, you know, for the spectrum? He wants to go Ketanim del Raisa, Ne'manim b'mili, you know, d'yadam, leis b'utircha, as long as they're Ketanim dis b'hudas. That is the shita of the Ritva. Okay. No.
I have like a Kanan related question, like, who wrote the Chidush HaRitva? Because it doesn't seem to be the Ritva.
It's a really good question.